Welcome to Conversation at the Cutting Edge with Sandra Sedgbeer on Vivid Life Radio. Sandra engages in thought-provoking conversations with the teachers, authors, scientists, and researchers working at the cutting edge where science and spirituality meet. If you're open to shifting your perceptions and expanding your awareness, pull up a chair and get ready to play in the field of possibilities. And here's Sandy.
Miracle occurs and they're pronounced healed. But how does it happen? Is it fate? Divine intervention? Or is there a specific process, pathway, or a set of spiritual strategies that can miraculously effect healing? Tobin Blake is author of the book The Healing of Jordan Young, which chronicles the role he played in the seemingly impossible medical recovery of an 18-year-old terminal lymphoma patient. A longtime student of meditation, healing, and the mind-body connection, Tobin is a teacher who leads workshops on meditation and spiritual awakening. He's also the author of two other books, The Power of Stillness and Everyday Meditation. Tobin joins us now to share the spiritual tools, strategies, and healing laws that he used to help bring Jordan Young back from the brink of death to full healing. Tobin Blake, welcome.
Namaste. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Beautiful.
Good. Glad to hear that. Tobin, tell us how you met Jordan Young and how you got involved in his healing.
Yeah, well, Jordan actually came into my life as my daughter's boyfriend, believe it or not. So it was just, he had become an ordinary kind of fixture in our world. And they were high school sweethearts, and he was 18 years old. And he had really become a part of our family when he was diagnosed with, as you pointed out, lymphoma. And he went through the regular treatments, chemotherapy. You know, he was too late for radiation therapy. But then he also had something called smart chemo or targeted therapy. And one after another, these treatments all failed us. And eventually he became what was considered most likely to be terminal. So, that's basically the setup for how things happened.
So how did Jordan's parents feel about you being involved with their son's healing?
Jordan's parents were in a very difficult space at this time. They were on the verge of divorce, and Jordan really didn't have much of a relationship with his dad, and he did have a relationship with his mother, but you know, it was somewhat rocky. So I never really got to know them in depth, quite honestly, but I knew that under the circumstances, I had to be there for Jordan, and I also realized that it was not what I call a coincidence. It was what I call a coincidence that he had become a part of our lives, because truthfully, by this time, I had been studying mind-body healing and meditation for many, many years. In fact, I had written two books on meditation by the time he had actually become sick. So I really felt like I had been placed there for a reason in Jordan's life.
Well, I'm going to ask you that question because it's quite an interesting distinction to make between coincidence and coincidence. And I've never heard that distinction made before. So what about Jordan? I mean, was he open from the beginning to you participating and for him actually participating in certain spiritual practices?
Yeah, well, Jordan actually surprised me, quite frankly. He was an 18-year-old boy, and I was like, for a long time there, I just assumed that modern medicine would do its job, and at first the prognosis was good, and we thought he was going to be okay, and he deteriorated. So as he did begin to deteriorate, I actually did step up and start discussing mind-body concepts with him, the idea of how his emotions may, be affecting him on a physical level. And I taught him meditation and visualization, and I started walking him through various healing exercises. And surprisingly, he took right to it. And eventually, he even took an 8-week meditation course that I was teaching locally, where I live at a hospital. So I was quite surprised that a boy so young would be quite as receptive. I don't know where he's at in regards to that now, but, the last that I talked to him, at least, he was still meditating. So, it is perhaps something that became a long-term part of his life. It's been a number of years now. This happened all about 4 years ago, so.
Now, you have a lot to say in the book about how people respond to the news that they have cancer, denial, withdrawal, etc., and that it's better to embrace the disease, become an expert on it, and accept that it's an opportunity for growth. Did Jordan accept that, or was it a bit of a struggle for him?
Oh, gosh. it's a bit of a struggle for everybody, right? He was a trooper. He was tough. And he certainly didn't go into denial. But denial is very much a common thing with people who are diagnosed, and it's certainly understandable, right? You're walking through life, and for all of us, disease seems to strike out of nowhere. Suddenly we're not feeling well, and we go to the doctor, and we get handed this horrible diagnosis. So the retreat into fear, the retreat into denial is probably the most common reaction. But the unfortunate thing is that retreat also hinders our ability to heal. So, in order to heal, first of all, fear is a major negative emotion that actually contributes to disease. And as such, it inhibits our ability to recover and to heal. So there's one problem. But if you go into denial as well, this can be an issue because we're not looking at the disease, and we're not looking at any of the internal factors that we may have added to that illness. And those really need to be challenged. That is the main hurdle to challenging any kind of disease, whether it's physical or emotional or whatever.
Well, you maintain that all physical diseases have a mental component, and that if one can discover the corresponding psychological element to the physical disease, you can fix it. Now, in Jordan's case, there was a lot of guilt. What does a young boy have to feel so guilty about?
Well, honestly, I think that guilt is actually built into the ego structure to begin with. It is basically a part of what we are as human beings. It seems to be built in. But even minor mistakes can contribute to that baseline of guilt. So I don't think that any human being lives very long in this world without accumulating some sense of guilt, over mistakes, over, even just simple angry moments and, very simple things. So that was certainly there. And since we're on the topic of guilt, guilt is, bar none, in my opinion anyway, the most destructive of all emotions that we have. And guilt is basically anger turned around and used against oneself. And that is why it can contribute so heavily to disease. So one of the things that people really need to work on, and this is expressed in one of the principles of the book, is whenever we are struggling with anything going on, whether it's guilt or some physical illness or depression, any kind of emotional illness or illnesses in our relationship, whatever, one of the main things we need to do is really get down and dirty and dig into the dirt of our lives and see if there's anything, any sort of guilt we're harboring, anything we haven't forgiven ourselves for in the past, or just guilt that seems to be lingering within our minds and not attached to any particular event, and raise that into awareness and learn how to forgive it and let it go. And this can be done through a number of processes. But the most important thing is to raise it into awareness. This really is going to aid the recovery process in ways that no medication can possibly match.
You're listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest is Tobin Blake, author of the book The Healing of Jordan Young. After the break, Tobin will share some tools that you can use to stimulate the healing process or just stay healthy. We'll be back in a few moments, so don't go away.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
You cannot separate who you are and what you do from how you interact with the world. Marketing was never meant to be slick and soulless. If you're looking to build your personal or business profile and platform and connect with the audience that resonates with you and your message, visit www.sandysedgbeer.com and discover what 30 years of applying the science of resonance in international publishing, marketing, and conscious business development can do for you.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with author Tobin Blake about his book, The Healing of Jordan Young, and the three spiritual laws of healing that Tobin used to help bring Jordan back from the brink of death. Tobin, you offer a number of spiritual principles of healing, one of which is that total healing can only occur through entering the healing dimension. What is the healing dimension, and how does one enter it?
Yeah, the healing dimension is, you know, it's probably something that people refer to by a number of different names. The mystical experience, the holy instant, and so on and so forth. But in the book, since we're discussing healing, I refer to it as the healing dimension. And the healing dimension is just a space of timelessness. It's a moment where we let go of all of our sense of projecting into the future, worrying about the future, thinking about the future, and also worrying about the past and thinking about the past. And you enter into this kind of timeless moment where you feel yourself lifted up sort of out of your body almost and into a sense of light and quietness. It's very difficult to describe in words. But the end result is basically what we're talking about here is just a moment of reconnection with Source, with Spirit, which is we're a part of. We're all a part of. So it's very close. It's not really much of a movement to reach that state. It's just one shift, actually. But as we shift into that state and experience that state fully and let ourselves be immersed in it, those are the moments where the seeds of healing are planted in our lives. And it's true we might not see that occur immediately from that moment, but without a doubt, some way, somehow, healing will occur from that moment. You know, it may take the form of medications being used or treatments being applied or just the right healer showing up in the patient's life at just the right moment. Or it may be spontaneous, who knows? But somehow, some way, from that moment, healing occurs. Then what we're talking about here really is inner healing that occurs, and then it leads to outer healing. Healing the heart and the head of the patient then spreads to the body.
Well, you also maintain that there are three spiritual laws of healing that must be met in order to enter the healing dimension. Tell us what those three laws are.
Yeah, the three spiritual laws are actually referred to in the book as special principles of healing. And I have to say, when Jordan became very ill, I had a moment where I just stopped, and you know, it seemed like there was nothing that modern medicine could do to help the situation any longer. So at that moment, I basically stopped and I said, okay, God, you know, in more or less in different words, but similar words, you know, how can I help this situation? What can I do to help? And I became completely open in that moment. And it almost seemed like from that moment, these principles of healing started to come to me. And they ended up being 10 full principles, 7 basic principles, and then 3 special principles, which I also call the laws of healing. And these are primary and just fundamental to the healing process. Number one, the patient must believe healing is possible. If the patient doesn't believe that they can heal, then they're fighting against their own belief system, and it's a very difficult thing to do, to fight with your own mind, your own beliefs. So the patient really needs to challenge any beliefs that healing is not possible and come to agreement with themselves or some sort of satisfactory mental state where they do believe healing is possible. The second one was the patient must want to heal at all levels. That means they're not using sickness for any hidden purposes. I'll give you an example here. Some people develop a pattern of using sickness to get attention. And they don't do this intentionally, but maybe they were kids and they got sick one day and their mom came in and said, oh, you poor thing, and gave them all this attention and treats and let them stay home from school and so on and so forth. That love can be helpful, of course, but when the patient doesn't or person doesn't feel that they're loved and respected and cared for outside of that, they may develop a tendency to use illness to gain attention. And there are many purposes that illness might be used for. And the third law was the patient must feel that they deserve to heal. They've got to feel like they deserve it. And this is where you have to challenge any sense of guilt. If you're using sickness as any form of self-punishment, that has to be brought to your awareness, to your consciousness, and then released. So this is why I say digging in the dirt is one of the most important things we can learn to do as human beings in general, and certainly if we're sick in any way, mentally ill, physically ill, if we're struggling with long-term depression, anxiety, et cetera, we've got to get down in the dirt and say, what am I using this for, if anything? Am I using this for any hidden purposes? What am I getting out of this? And do I have any sense of guilt that I have not addressed and forgiven and let go of? And if so, we really need to work on letting those things go, releasing them, healing them, forgiving them.
In addition to chemo and radiation, Jordan also received a bone marrow transplant and targeted therapy from a drug that had only just been released a few months before he got sick. So I've got a couple of things to say about that. The first is, how did the doctors react to Jordan's recovery? Did they give any credence to the spiritual strategies you used, or did they take the credit for that?
Oh, gosh. You know, I never really addressed spirituality with the doctors or anything of that nature. You know, I believe in working hand-in-hand with physicians, and I was just there really to support Jordan and to be present with him. And yes, of course, I taught him meditation and so on and so forth. But really, if you look at what occurred, it was, you know, the contributions of many, many people, the physicians and what they were able to do on the physical level, the love he received from friends and family, and of course me, my ability to teach him meditation and take him into those spaces. You know, all of these things added up, and I certainly didn't force my views on anybody or even really discuss spirituality and meditation and healing so much with the doctors and nurses and so on and so forth. I really don't even think that's necessary. It's not even really necessary to discuss it with the patient, although I did with Jordan, but you don't have to. You can also learn to just be present with the patient and loving and open and supportive in that way, and that is very helpful as well.
So the doctors probably thought it was their treatment. How do you know it wasn't their treatment?
Yeah, I never argue, you know, against how the healing came about. But for those of you who actually go out and read the book, and it's available out in bookstores, so just wander on down to your own bookstore and see if they have it. I never try to convince anybody that this occurred through miraculous means, but if you read through the way it transpired, it certainly was a dazzling experience as far as, you know, the point where he became critically ill to the point where he was actually had recovered. We just experienced one coincidence or synchronicity after another that we just simply could not contribute just to pure chance. I mean, literally, he ended up being at just the right place, at just the right moment, one step after another. Everything just unfolded incredibly. Well, it was like being in a movie, you know, truly like being in a movie.
So before we wind up the show, Tobin, can you give us a tool, a strategy, a suggestion that we can use to stimulate healing or just stay healthy?
You know, the number one thing is learning to be present. Absolutely, without a doubt. I suggest to everybody just take some time every day to develop a little space of presence and to ground yourself in that presence and to live, you know, as much as possible of your days in that state of presence. And real simply, you can begin this process by just sitting down for a few minutes in the morning and hopefully a few minutes at night if you have time. Close your eyes and just begin to tune in to your breath. Just feel your breath coming into your body and exiting your body, and just get a sense of the rhythm of it and feeling it directly. You're not thinking about it, and that will actually tune you in to your physical self, and you can also kind of sense your inner body at the same time, and just become present of that and allow thoughts, instead of grabbing your attention and pulling you into them, just to allow your thoughts to come and go like clouds as you practice this. When you begin to do this, you'll begin to sense presence, and you'll understand what the present moment really means when people discuss it. And this presence is something that is very expansive over time and as you practice it more and more. So that would be the number one thing as far as staying well and as well as getting well. There's nothing more valuable than the tool of meditation as far as natural medicine goes, and that basically is a simple form of meditation.
Finally, Tobin, what does your vivid life look like?
What does my what life look like?
Your vivid life. We're broadcasting this show on the Vivid Life Network.
We
want to know, what does your vivid life look like?
My vivid life is simplicity. You know, I live a life where I'm a creative person. I meditate daily, go deeply into that, and live most of my life nowadays. I'm kind of attached to that state and as creative as possible, writing and teaching and teaching meditation and these concepts to everyone I meet.
Tobin Blake, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You can find out more about Tobin's book at his website, tobinblake.com. That brings us to the end of this show, but we'd love to know what your vivid life looks like, and you can share your answers with us at facebook.com/vividlife.me. If you'd like advance information on future guests for the show, you can sign up for my newsletter at sedgebeer.com. The theme tune for this show is from an original song called Searching, by Grammy Award-winning producer, composer, and musician, Barry Goldstein. I'm Sandy Sedgebeer. Thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to having your company at the same time next week. Till then, you can listen to more great shows live and in our archives here at vividlife.me.
Thank you for listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge on Vivid Life Radio, helping you discover more of who you are so you can live more of the life you were born to live. Join us same time next week for another Conversation at the Cutting Edge.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.